All right, so do I have sound? It looks like I've got sound. I've got sound from the microphone. Should be a good sign. Let me try something. Right, this is Joseph Rodriguez on Neville Goddard Outwitting the Doubt. So hopefully this should show up in my sound with a bit of luck. And if it does, then we're up and running for everything I want to do again.
Transcending doubts. Doubt is a thing of mind. It's internal, come from usually past experiences. Reflecting in conversation with another person as they reveal their interpretations of their experiences, which to ourselves is instilled in doubt, as in we identify with what they're saying from a doubt-based perspective. So the conversation thread within is usually something like this in that case. I don't believe that it's possible for me to achieve it, but it's possible for others to do it because they have this ability and that advantage and another form of interpretation that causes us to affirm the doubt within. These doubts are limiting in nature. And one of the things we want to do on our journey is understand them if need be. Or put our mind on what is related and in harmony. Two ways of going about doing this. Number one is you could put your attention elsewhere. If you're having a conversation or you're consuming some information that is instilling doubt within you, you have the power to turn away from that information. If you're consuming information and it's revealing doubt within you and you want to understand the source of this doubt, where it comes from, you have the power to go within and find the source of this doubt and change it. As a result, we transcend in mind. Transcendence is the act of rising above to an elevated state of mind, to be able to observe the doubt and recognize it for what it really is, something that you don't have to identify with. When you achieve transcendence, you have gone beyond ordinary limitations or self-imposed limitations or limitations of the past or limitations of the interpretations of others based on experiences that they've had that we may identify with. So much of our limiting thoughts, doubts, have been a result of what we have interpreted from other people's experiences. So much of our doubts come from our past experiences. More specifically put, our interpretations of our past experiences. Now, if a person is riddled with doubt on the journey to creating success, which from the perspective of what we discuss when we go into Neville's work, it's not that we are creating success, it's that we are reflecting from the infinite world within of imagination, as in all things exist, and all things exist now in the eternal now. This is called fourth dimensional thinking. From this perspective, we recognize that creation is already complete. And what we're doing is we're selecting in our imagination the ideal outcome, the ideal vision, that which you desire to see brought forth, and we are remaining true, or as Neville states it, persisting in the assumption till it is realized. Now, why is it then we create these separation-based doubts in our own mind and riddle ourselves with excess complexity and convolution on our journey? Well, as stated, we didn't consciously do this. This is what we subconsciously believe to be true. Now we have the conscious ability to really understand what's going on in our mind and remove these doubts or not identify with these doubts and move forward from a flow-based, calm, loving-based journey to the realization of our vision. Now, it's important to see this journey to the vision as joyous, flow-based, not unnecessarily riddling our mind with stress and force-based thinking, which again, we may have learned from past experiences or interpretations from other people's experiences. But we have the power to change these interpretations so that we can feel more in harmony with our vision. Or as Neville Goddard puts it, loyalty to the unseen reality, which represents faith. Faith is loyalty to the unseen reality. The unseen reality being what you have found in your imagination, and reality being what we experience here in the five sensory experience. And we're talking about loyalty to the unseen reality, knowing that one day the unseen becomes seen. One of my favorite quotes from Sun Tzu is, "Every battle is won before it is ever fought." Let's reflect upon that. Every battle is won before it is ever fought. Now, where is this winning or losing occurring? Well, upon working with this information, we recognize that the losing or winning choice is happening in the mind, although for many of us, it's subconscious. So thus, we want to accurately interpret our journey to the fulfillment of what we desire to experience, one that is of harmony, love, alignment, understanding, and accurate interpretation. So Neville puts it really well when he states, "I deny everything that reason dictates. I close my eyes to the facts of life, the obvious things, and I clothe myself mentally in all that I would like to be. I imagine that people see me as they would see me if I were the man that I want to be. I imagine that I am actually standing where I would stand if I were that, and that I'm actually doing all the things I would do, normally and naturally, if what I am assuming were really true, if it were a fact. Well now, when I do this, I'm clothing myself in the outer garments of naturalness of the facts. Now when I open up my eyes on the facts of life, which we call the outer world experience, or our interpretation of the outer world experience, as in we are giving it the meaning." He says, it denies everything that I've done. Again, the assumption is within. The interpretation is that it's denying everything that it has done. But I remember what I did. I caught that precious moment, for there is that moment in each day that doubt cannot find, and his helpmates cannot find it. In our imagination, if we really decide on what we want and imagine it to be true, conjure up in our mind's eye what it would already look like if it was true, then we understand that it already exists in the unseen reality, as in all things exist. And there is no doubt. Doubt can show up through the interpretations of what he calls outer world facts. Although the outer world facts are not implying the doubt, unless we interpret the facts to imply the doubt. For example, say you're starting a business, and then you go and look at some statistics of how many businesses fail. You read about how 90 to 95% of businesses fail. You look at that and you see it as a fact, and you begin to identify with, and then it alters your mind, and you fall into the state that represents the interpretation of that information. And you begin to see more validation and information that reveals what you had subconsciously affirmed, which was that state of mind. And you begin to assume that that outer world circumstance, that that outer world information was the only known fact. Now take another person. They go and connect with those that represent those that have created the success, They brought forth the vision, the entrepreneurial vision. They engage in conversations with them. And they notice that they're maintaining that state of mind. Through the bridge of incidents, the journey, they maintain that state of mind and then bring forth the end result. The third party that observes both individuals can conclude that the interpretations led them down a journey to the fulfillment. Simply put, they were surrounding themselves with the people that were most in alignment and in harmony with the vision. But from this understanding, we recognize that it's the interpretations of those people, and it's the interpretations of the information. Who was the interpreter? It was the individual that was interacting with those people and the environments and the circumstance. And when we look to the essence of what they were representing, it was a certain state of mind. Now, that certain state of mind, as maintained, had less doubts in it. So even though they were dealing with the same world, the same planet that we live on, what was perceived as outer world facts, which may be appear as contrarian to each other, and even adamantly so, because perhaps the business owner said, I failed because of the statistics, or because of this and because of that. And the other business owner says, I succeeded because of this or because of the circumstances. Both of them are correct from their perspective. And so is the individual that had a preference of going down the pathway of not creating the success and further affirming those facts that were true based on certain variables. And on the flip side, the other pathway of facts that were true based on the other perspective. Who was the selector of the perspective? It was the individual. So then where is all the power? Or we would say, if the desired outcome is the entrepreneurial success and it was not achieved, the misuse of power. It was up to the individual. And as he states here, first, we must be like the watchman at the gate. We must watch every thought that contains I am. And what we're interested in applying this to is our success. So we don't need to overthink this. We simply need to see our journey all the way to success. Commit to the success, know that it is done, already existing in the unseen reality, and we will see it in reality through maintaining the ideal state of mind. And the ideal state of mind is what we are saying I am too. That means that if something shows up on the journey, we're not seeing it as an obstacle. If someone presents you some facts that says that it's not possible for you to achieve your dream, you have the power to question those facts and say, where else could it be possible? Could it exist beyond these facts that might seem to not be in my favor? Could I communicate with other individuals who have transcended those doubts? Should I connect with certain information and put myself in certain trains of thought by saturating my consciousness with what is in harmony and observe what reveals itself? So one of my favorite things that I did in the earlier stages of this journey was I would listen to the same audio programs over and over again. One of my favorite was The 21 Secrets of Self-Made Millionaires by Brian Tracy. And I would listen to other authors who would say the same information over and over again, sometimes the same thing over and over again, or the same thing over and over again from different perspective. They're essentially saying the same thing. They're talking about the law of mind. Now, as a result of saturating my mind with that information, that served me really well because I was able to grow my IT business from 2009 to 2013 to 50 clients. And then after transitioning away from it, I decided to go into, partially with what I was doing, into the world of consulting, business consulting. I felt that I had acquired enough wisdom from my experiences as well as proved based on experience. And I wanted to connect with other businesses and integrate this information as well as meet with other entrepreneurs who have also transcended these limiting, doubt-based ideas. So that's what I did. and upon hundreds of different interactions with businesses, entrepreneurs, in all various stages, starting out, high degree of success, moderate success, I recognize that the source of their success was tracked back to the way that they think, the way that they interpret, the way that they assume, and their ability to reinterpret even what others would believe to be true, and who were surrounded by others who validated those disempowering facts, they were able to see potentiality and possibility beyond those interpretations. And they would maintain true to their assumption. We call this self-confidence. That's why I recommend the self-confidence formula by Napoleon Hill. I'll put a link in the description where I talk about it in two videos. Now, as a result of maintaining this ideal state of mind and observing the watchman of the gate, which is the conscious mind, we recognize that we have the ability to choose the interpretations that are presented to us. And it may appear that the outer world is suggesting interpretations to us, but we have the power to affirm whatever interpretations that we choose. I call this accurate interpretations. Now, accurate interpretations imply that whatever shows up on the journey is in harmony and in contribution to your vision, and you have the power to reveal how so. This is an infinite existence. The inner world is infinite. You can imagine anything because all things exist. It's infinite. Now, based on this infinite possibility, inner world, which replicates itself on the outer world, we recognize that we are open to any type of interpretation possible. And what we're looking for is the accurate interpretation. Simply put, is this idea, is this perspective, is this way of thinking doubt-based, or is it affirmative to my vision? We can change it. In the business world, there's all these different things that show up on the journey. And after having all these different conversations, I've heard many different stories. And what I found is that it's the same thing wearing different masks. We can track it back to doubt. It's doubt-based thinking. And whatever the interpretation that is presented to me, I can put it into, you could say, two categories: doubt-based or affirmative-based. As in, the entrepreneur or the business owner would communicate to me of how they're going to figure it out. Some way, somehow, they're going to figure it out. They're able to interpret the obstacles that show up, knowing that they're seeming obstacles, because we're giving it the interpretation of obstacle, and transmute the meaning within over to opportunity. And they wouldn't argue with anyone. They wouldn't even have a conversation about it. They would hold true to the assumption till it was brought forth, and then people would ask them, how did you do it? And then they would reveal the bridge of incidents. And others would look at that and say, I'm going to do what they're doing. And that may work, that may not work. But still, the way that it was brought forth was just one way out of infinite potentiality of how we are interpreting the journey, the bridge of incidents, the circumstances, how we are relating with others, how we are relating with information. And understand that we can intercept we are interpreting the five sensory experience and change the interpretations. It'll allow us to the outcome is determined by the thoughts and the assumptions and the interpretations and the perception and the perspective. And that is something that is infinite in nature. Infinity assumptions, infinity perspectives, infinity ideas, infinity ways of looking at reality. And if there are infinity ways, that one doubt-based thought can be looked at from a different perspective, and you can select any one from the infinite perspectives that allows you to release from the reactivity, the stress, the void, the frustration. Now, to have this happen automatically, I would suggest maintaining a flow-based state of mind. Watch the video I did on flow and integrate it. Because when you're in that state of mind, fears, doubts, indecision, and inaccurate thinking is excluded out of consciousness automatically. Or, as I refer to, cause and effect reflect. Have a conversation with somebody about how to accurately interpret in a way that empowers you. Have a conversation with yourself, self-reflection, in a way that allows you to accurately interpret the experience in a way that enables you into a higher degree of affirmation. So he says, another important word to watch is if. The conscious mind is very subtle in expressing doubt. Very interesting. The conscious mind is very subtle in expressing doubt. So we say, I am too. That is what we are identifying with. That is what we are affirming. That is what we are representing as the concept of self. So I am already the person that I aspire to be. I am my vision. This is a journey to the realization of my vision. And then you may find yourself throughout the day saying, but if this, but if that. If this happens, then I might fail. If this happens, it's going to cause me stress. And if this happens, it's going to hold me back. Those if statements are also what we're saying I am to. So what we want is to recognize where we are encouraging this doubt-based thinking. And by the way, see this journey as fun and flow. I mean, this journey is about what I call purification of the mind, identifying and removing unnecessary complexity and convolution from our mind as well as the journey to the realization and making it as smooth as possible so that when you bring forth success, you'll find that you've evolved past certain thinking, transcended in mind, or as stated here, risen above to an elevated state of mind, and you will create success again and again from that perspective, which is why you could say those that have created entrepreneurial success are found to, again, create success again and again and again from a place of flow, and they have a higher likelihood of success. It's because of what has happened as a result of the purification of the mind. They have not been identifying with the doubt-based programming, which may be there, and certainly in my experience, yeah, was riddled with doubt-based programming. Came from experiences, but more accurately put, my interpretation of those experiences. And after I found the accurate interpretation through conversation with others who had the results, who produced the success, who did it in ways that we would call unconventional, as well as gone into my own inner world and have an inner voice conversation upon reflection of the different experiences in the journey, as I identified with the accurate interpretations, I found myself releasing. I found myself removing the resistance that is caused by the doubt. So we can then say that doubt can create unnecessary resistance. The entire process from Neville Goddard, in the core of its essence, is quite simple. But the integration of it could be, and I'll use the word could be, unnecessary complex and convoluted by our own thinking. Number one, he says, conjure up in your imagination a scene that would imply. And number two, assume it to be done. We call that confidence. We call that faith. So assuming it to be done, the outer world, five sensory experience from us and through us rearranges to reflect that vision. And the unnecessary complexity and convolution is found on the journey based on our thinking, doubt-based thinking. So before we get into this next part, which I want to talk about hindsight, insight, and foresight, let's go back to what we have discussed about the fourth dimensional self. He says, there are two outlooks in the world possessed by everyone, a natural focus and a spiritual focus. The ancient teachers call the one the carnal mind, and the other the mind of Christ. We may differentiate them as ordinary waking consciousness governed by our senses, and a controlled imagination governed by a desire. So that stated, the natural self, or the natural focus, has the concept of past, present, and future. The spiritual self understands the eternal now. I recommend reading the book Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, where he speaks about this. I'll put a link in the description. So that's not a problem, however, because I call this five sensory to six sense integration. We're integrating the natural with the spiritual, seeing it as one, because it is one. All is one. We take things apart in our mind so we can understand and then put it back together. And here's how we do it with the concept of hindsight, insight, and foresight. Now we say, hindsight is 20/20. If you look back, you'll be able to accurately see the misinterpretations of our experience because we see the outcome. And we'll be able to connect the dots looking backwards. Now that can be helpful, because we can reflect back on past experience and recognize how it brought us to where we are. And we can learn from those experiences, certainly from others as well. However, we want to interpret hindsight from the perspective of further affirming the vision rather than doubt-based, knowing that there are many pathways to get to any outcome. And if the end result was not producing success, then we're not interested in identifying with the interpretations that lead to that particular outcome. We want to maybe understand what they are, but we don't want to identify with it. We don't want to say, I am to it. We could say, that may be possible, but I am the vision, or I am the success. So we can work with hindsight. Now, we look at our own hindsight, but we've created success, because we're doing this all the time. This is not something new we're learning. This entire process, we're actually automatically already doing it. We're just becoming more conscious of it. We can learn from the hindsight of others, and we can connect the dots and relate it back to the psychology, the way of thinking, the mind that was the causative factor in those experiences. The same is to be said about insight. So this is in the present now. Intuition and insight all exist in the now, guides us. So I always say connect to intuition, which is found in the now. Intuition is found in the now and is only found in the now. Intuition can help you interpret the hindsight or the foresight, being able to connect the dots looking forward, as well as connecting the dots looking backwards. Foresight is already done. That part is taken care of. Assuming it to be done and recognizing that all things exist and that we are on the journey right now to the fulfillment of the destination is enough to release from mental chatter, unnecessary complexity, and convolution in the mind. Now we want to maintain that state. And we maintain that state through the kind of conversations that we have with others within ourselves, what we say when we talk to ourselves, and also how we interpret in the present moment, because we're doing it, even though we're not necessarily a lot of times conscious of it or not, the past and relating it to the future. In other words, you may look at somebody else's experience from what I gave it earlier of how the entrepreneurial success may not happen. And you're going to connect the dots with yourself and say, because it happened to them and they won't get success, I won't get success. And you can very well just as easily connect with those that produce success and find yourself inspired from within, the insight in that present moment of connection, awakening within you the accurate interpretations. So centering ourselves is the key into the fourth dimensional self, where all things exist. And as Neville states, instead of being a three-dimensional sense man, using the fourth dimensional power, I am now identified with the fourth dimensional power using the third dimensional sense man as an instrument. So the natural self is the instrument and the spiritual self is the true self. Now that stated, I call this, and I brought this up in the last discussion we did on Neville's information, five sensory integration with the sixth sense. And I recommend watching that video. I'll put a link in the description. And to bring this all into a nice epilogue, he states, all changes take place in consciousness. The future, although prepared in every detail in advance, has several outcomes. At every moment of our lives, we have before us the choice of which of several outcomes we choose. So we want to then be less reactive to to doubt-based interpretations. And as a result of identifying with those doubts, we say I am to those doubts. And those doubts can show up in the word if, as mentioned. And as a result of the identification, we're moving down the journey to the realization. And then upon reflection, we'll understand even more so what Sun Tzu said. Every battle is won before it is ever fought. If you want to copy this mind map, the link is in the description. Thank you very much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right. So that was... and it worked technically, which is what this particular show is about. It's my technical rehearsal for this afternoon. I don't know whether I'm going to use that particular audio this afternoon. I may do. I may find something a little bit more geopolitical for this afternoon because it's that type of show now. But I do like, I like what Joseph Rodriguez is doing, and I find it very clear. So anyway, that's the end of today's show. This is the end of the technical rehearsal. I'll be back on Revolution Radio this afternoon at 4 p.m. UK time, which is 11 a.m. East Coast time. And I'll know that my Firefox browser will pick up sound from video, which means I can do what I want to do again. Haven't had to reset settings and reinstall stuff and do whatever I had to do to get it working properly. But anyway, I know it's working. So thanks for coming in, Sog. I appreciate your company. I'm going to be here at 11 a.m. next week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. And maybe at 12 noon Eastern on Wednesday. I've got a group that I kind of host on Wednesday afternoon, my time. So I might take my laptop over there. Maybe do a show from the group. I don't know. We'll see how I feel. I might, because it's a discussion group anyway, so it would be very easy to just stick a microphone in the middle of the table and broadcast it. I don't know. It depends how I feel on Wednesday and whether people will agree to it or not. So I haven't asked anybody. Okay, that's it for now. Thanks for coming in. I'll see you again. I'll probably see you at some time later today and a couple of times tomorrow because I'm in podcasting mode again. Having been forced out of it for a little bit. But there you go. I'm back again. So I shall see you later.